It's that time again for the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Production. I am your host, Sean. Danny, how are you, man?
Dude, I'm weathering the storm of wind that we have out here. You know, I mean, it's like in the 50s or 60s and windy. It's like the worst weather ever.
Is it just too cold for you?
Oh, man. I mean, I know you have people like in the Northeast that's getting like pretty much blizzard conditions, but I had to put a jacket on, dude. It was freezing.
Oh, no, not a jacket.
You know, I know.
A couple feet of snow and, you know, the light wind chill that we have causing the temperature to go to -6. Man, I'm glad that you found that jacket, though.
I know, man. It saved my life, dude. Like, you know, not like friend of the show man thing that like told me one day it was like 33 below wind chill factor.
He said, just bring a cup of coffee. You'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just give him a beanie and he'll be good.
Oh, man.
So we're about to break one of the two cardinal rules, Sean. And I don't mean we're going to talk about Fight Club, but you spent some time in Vegas.
I think at this point, what happens in Vegas is broadcasted across the internet. So I don't know how much like that saying is true anymore.
What happens in Vegas stays on Instagram.
Exactly. But I did visit Sin City. You know. Lady Luck, per usual, stayed away from me, so that was a little sad, a little disheartening. So I wasn't able to recover any money from my times at the crap machine. And basically, you know, for the most part, it was a great trip. I will say, though, Danny, before I kind of review some things, I'm just going to get this over with and talk about the negative thing. So, you know, Danny, it's 2019, right?
Yes.
It's 2019. I don't understand how hard it is to ensure that when you go into a room that there's an outlet for your cell phone next to the bed. Why? I just don't understand why this can't be a thing. It's so hard for some of these hotels to, like, actually have this. And it was super frustrating to, like, you know, plug your phone in because, you know, you're trying to set an alarm, but you have to plug your phone into the bathroom. So, like, what's the point?
Right, because even, like, some of the hotels that were built with outlets not necessarily convenient to the bed, they have, like, the lamp that's plugged in next to the bed that has, like, basically the extension strip of multiple outlets in the lamp.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why can't we just, you know, have that? It was super frustrating. It was like, I had to, like, next to the bed, I had to choose only one thing to plug in. And then, like, and then on the last day, I had to plug in my tablet in the bathroom. It's just like, come on. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I guess I'm just going to have to start bringing, like, my own, like, surge protector with me so I could have, like, outlets close to me or something.
An extension cord and surge protectors.
Yeah. It, just what I needed. The TSA to search my bag even more often than they do.
Right, you might as well just have like also like a serial killer weapons in there so you could just murder someone and film it or torture them.
Exactly. Dude, my bag is literally searched like every time I go through TSA. It doesn't even matter anymore. Like, I think I'm on somebody's list, but I have pre-TSA, so, like, they're like, you're a safe person, but every time you check in a bag, we're searching it.
Yeah, we trust you, but not that much.
I was like, why? I have, like, paper trails of the TSA was here. I'm just like, yep, yeah, you were. Of course, you know. First it was, like, my Xbox, it's my PlayStation, it's my laptop, like, it doesn't matter.
It's the, the diesel-powered pocket pussy.
basically. That's what was giving it away the whole time. Why'd you spoil that, Danny?
The human head that you carry with you at all times.
It's in a freezer bag. It's okay.
It's for luck.
It doesn't. Yep. So, but I got through the airports pretty easily with my pre-TSA, so I didn't have to talk to them about how their paycheck is going. So I was able to skip that awkward conversation and move on.
So, you bought any good food lately?
Do you do this for charity?
Yep, I'm off to just throw money in casinos because I'm still getting paid.
Exactly. No, usually TSA's grumpy anyway, so I was glad that my pre-TSA was working this go-around because I could only imagine what it would have been like if I went through the normal line. Outside of that, went and saw the Penn & Teller show. They changed a lot of their – they had a lot of new acts for their 2019 tour or show, so there was a lot of cool new stuff to watch. Again, always a good time to watch Penn and Teller.
Did Teller just talk your ears off?
Only Penn did. Sorry. Only Penn. It is kind of interesting to hear Teller, like, talk, though, because at the end of their show, they go stand in the hallway and they take pictures with everybody. So, like, it's interesting to, like, hear him talk, even though, like, in their bits, he never talks. So
right, he's breaking kayfabe, as they would say in the wrestling world.
Exactly. you would say that.
Yes, I would.
Fucking nerd.
Yes, I am.
Goddamn weeb.
For those that don't know, and by those that don't know, we're talking about Sean's mom and dad. kayfabe is the thing in wrestling where, like, everyone knows it's fake, but they pretend it's real.
Outside of that, just hit some malls and whatnot. And no, I think overall it was a good time. Didn't really get to go off the strip to go look for breweries or anything. Didn't see any new breweries or like any kind of like distilleries trying to jump up into any of the mall spots. So it's kind of still zoned out.
Right. I know there was one brewery kind of over at the one end near like where like the CVS and all that stuff is upstairs, like Sin City Brewing or something like that. But yeah, there wasn't really anything. But I haven't been there for a couple of years, so I didn't know if anybody had expanded onto the strip more.
No, not at this time.
Yeah, I know there's like more stuff, more downtown, I guess, because the property's cheaper.
Yeah, I did. One of the things that I will say that I did go to, speaking of downtown, is I went to a speakeasy down there. So what I did is I had to like text this number to like request a time to come in with how many people I had, and then they got back to me and they gave me like instructions what to do to get like into the speakeasy. So once it was our time, we went through the normal bar and went to our little location that we were supposed to be, and I let them know that I was there. And about 5 minutes later, we got pulled into like two other doors, and then we were in the speakeasy. And it was a really cool experience, Danny. I would probably say if anybody is interested in some very like really good cocktails, then this is the place to go. Like, you go in, it's very dim. You could it's not like super dark, but it's a very nice soft setting. There's only like the room only fits maybe like 20 people in there, and it's only the bar it's like there's the hostess and then the bartender or the mixologist and basically seats. And there's like a strict rule list where you can't talk on the phone, you can't take pictures, you can't stay standing up. You could walk to the restroom, but that's about it. And like it's a very like supposed to be quiet place. They didn't have like any kind of drink things that you would add in, like, before the 1940s. So there was no, like, you couldn't order, like, a vodka Red Bull or anything like that. But they had, like, a really big list of, like, different drinks they had. And then they also really liked to do is if you just told them flavors that you liked, they would make a drink for you based off that. I did have a maple coffee, like, bourbon or something like that, which was really good. And then I had a spicy watermelon drink. So that was a very interesting drink as well. But they were both really good, and I just can't, like, recommend this enough to anybody.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. And it definitely seems like a place where if you're going to go, you probably should order something. You don't want to be that, like, dick that goes in there and is like, no, it's okay. I just wanted to check the place out.
Yeah. No, they'll just kick your ass.
Yeah, you saw it. Now get the fuck out. Thanks for wasting everybody's time.
Yeah, exactly. It is. There is a dress code too, so like they take it very seriously.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's like part of the ambiance, and you know, it's almost like going out to being part of a ride at amusement park or something, being part of a show, like a murder mystery kind of thing, where it's like if you go in there and you want to like. You know, show up just wearing like, you know, your MMA brand t-shirts. I just lost like a name. I had it in my head, then I lost it. Or like, and your backwards hat and like shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably don't fit in. But like, if you just like want to go in and be adult about it.
Yeah.
And have a drink.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I will tell you is it's $16 per drink. So it's going to be pricey. And they are very like, it's top shelf liquors and very fresh ingredients. So like everything is like is really handcrafted. So it takes a while to get your drinks. So like, you know, think about like what the bartender has to do to make a mojito. That's like every drink. So it takes like a while. It's not like he's just pouring Coke and whiskey in a cup for you. So they're very complicated drinks that take a while to make. So you gotta have some patience,
right? And again, you're not there just to have a quick drink and bail. You're there for an adult, sit down, enjoyable experience, dude. I'll have to next time I go to Vegas. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yep, look for it. It's called the Laundry Room. It has the secret phone number is on their Facebook, and they're open from 5 to 10 daily.
Okay, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I ended up going to a casino as well. Funnily enough, while you were in Vegas, I went down to one of the local tribal casinos.
Oh, boy.
And at the request of my father-in-law to take my wife out to dinner for her birthday, and I guess he like goes there enough to where he gets like all these membership perks.
AKA, he spends a lot of money there.
Yes. And so I guess like he invited us early because there was some event going on, and so we get to go to the event. Well, we get there early enough as it is because we didn't want to be late because of, traffic. You know, where we're going anywhere from like an 80-minute drive to a 2.5-hour drive, depending on traffic. So I was walking around and I just happened to look at their map because we were killing time. And I saw that there was a brewery.
Yeah.
Like okay. Just right there. Like it wasn't necessarily attached to the casino, but it was like right across from the driveway to get into where the valet is parking. The valet parking is, you know? And so we, you know, go up, meet up, you know, go to the little thing, and he's only allowed to bring one guest. And my wife's like, well, you can just go in there and both of us will wait out here. Like me and her will wait for him to go do that. And I'm like, no, that's fine. I'll just go to the brewery while you guys are in there. And so I just took off. I didn't even really give her a chance to argue. And so we went over, the brewery's called SR76.
Okay.
And on their little map, they talked about how they are like the first or only tribal-owned brewery in the country.
Oh, wow.
And the name SR76 comes from the fact that, you know, they're on the state route 76.
How clever.
I know, man. So I'm in there, and it's just me and, like, one other couple. They're playing cornhole, you know, when I go in. And it's a nice place. Like, just it's clean. The chairs are comfortable. And so I just sit up at the bar, and I get one of their sour. And I'm talking to the guy, And I asked him, like, so is it normally busier in here? And he looks at me and he's like, honestly, no. He talked about how, like, they basically are in a transitional phase from the tribe running the brewery to letting the company that runs the casino, because it's part of the Harrah's family.
Yeah.
Of casinos. So that's part of the reason why that's the reason why her dad's part goes to that casino, is because he can, like, go to any Harrah's around the country and rack up points or even use his rewards.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I've heard people do that too, especially ones that go to the casinos a lot, like in California. They'll go to, like, certain casinos in Vegas and other places.
Right, and they even have one, I guess, like in New Orleans and stuff, so, you know, you can take full advantage. But basically he was saying that, like, they haven't made any beers for a little while, and they're in the process of hiring a new head brewer, and the hotel's in the process of, I guess, remodeling their sports bar. Uh-huh. And so they're going to put one of those Top Golfs in there.
Okay.
And so because of that, they're going to have to take out some of the TVs and stuff, and including their big projector screen. So they're going to put that in the brewery. And they're basically going to make the place for the Super Bowl party and different things like that.
Nice.
The brewery.
Okay.
But, like, they had their video screen up, and I was like, so all the beers on there you guys have? And he's like, oh, no, we don't have any more of the IPA. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that makes sense. You would run out of that first, because that's, like, one of the more popular styles. He's like, well, no, actually, we still have, like, 16 kegs of it. I'm just not allowed to tap any of it out here. I think they're using it for the casino inside.
Oh, man. you go to the brewery, you can't even have the beer.
Right. Jeez. And, you know, I was just talking to the guy, and it's just like, dude, like, there was no signage really inside the casino that there was a brewery, other than looking at the map. You know, like, if you didn't look at the map, you would have known. There's no gaming out there. Like, I went to a couple breweries in Vegas in the past, and they have at least the video poker tables there that you can gamble, you know, and even Keno or something, you know what I'm saying? So you can still keep up gambling while you're at the brewery.
Yeah. Keno makes the most sense.
Or just something, because
slot machines, yeah.
Slot machines or, like, the video poker or something, because, you know, if people can sit inside and gamble at a casino, which is why they're there, why would they go outside of the brewery where they can't gamble?
Yeah, exactly. And
again, you have to, like, leave the hotel, walk across the little driveway, and then you're at the brewery. It's not attached. There's not, like, a walk path or a bridge or anything like that. So, I mean, I understand why people aren't going there, but the beer was pretty good. It just needs to be advertised and marketed better. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. And don't hold it all in only going in the casino.
Yes. But, yeah, if I went down to that casino, I would definitely drink more of their beer, but I'm not necessarily a casino guy. I'm more of a brewery guy.
That's fair.
And then, you know, so then I'm like, yeah, to get down here, you know, it's like you have to drive past, like, all these different breweries. Like, you have to give people a reason to come to your place. You know, and even if you, like, embrace the tribal tie-in, you know, the fact that, you know, maybe change the name, do something to where it's obvious that this is owned by a Native American tribe, as opposed to just some random brewery that's attached to a casino.
Yeah, exactly. No, that makes sense.
But at least they're giving it a shot, and they're not just shutting it down. So I don't – maybe Harrah's themselves will run it better.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see.
Speaking of shutting down, you talked about the, you know, TSA workers not getting paid. Without getting into, like, the nuts and bolts of the shutdown, we just wanted to talk about a couple things that I guess affect – one thing that affects us and one thing that's kind of humorous.
It's always humorous.
Everybody, yes.
Just laugh at life. That's what I learned.
Exactly. So Clemson won the national championship for college football. And as per tradition, the championship teams go to the White House to have dinner with the president.
Yep.
And all the White House staff pretty much is on furlough. So Donald Trump went to a couple of different fast food restaurants and just ordered basically a bunch of random things off the menu and set up fast food buffet.
You know, these kids are athletes that, you know, but some of them are probably getting drafted to the NFL and have strict diets of, you know, what they need to eat. And I'm pretty sure the weight trainer is not telling them to go through and pound Big Macs.
Well, I mean, it is off season, so I guess they can have one day. But, you know, I had a friend that was Mormon, but he was also from, like, Central America, you know, one of the Hispanic Mormons, oddly enough. And his parents were one of the host houses that would host missionaries coming out here from Utah to go, you know, do their little door-to-door mission that they have to do.
Yeah.
And his mom would, like, want to make this big, huge, like, homemade meal that basically shows off the food of their people, you know, the food of their country. Yeah. And he would tell her, it's like, no, man, just order pizza. You don't have to do all this. Just order pizza. They're from Utah, man. They don't know what we make. And he said, inevitably, like, they would show up and, like, they would have pizza and they would, like, be so grateful that they had food that they recognized that they could, you know they can tolerate because, like, some of the stuff just didn't always agree with them, but their you know, Mormon diets of, you know, in Utah.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that was the same thing. Like, you know, you go to, like, the White House and you get, you know, fancy food from a chef that's trying to, you know, impress. And you, you know, eat, and but you're, and you're like, wait, that's it? That's all the food we're getting? I'm still hungry. And so there was a tweet put out by the White House from this quote from the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the quarterback was like, dude, I never said all that, dude. I did say the food was good, but I didn't say all that. So they at least seemed to enjoy themselves, but it was just pretty funny that, you know, both sides just trying to, like, tell of Clemson football players eating fast food.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is the department, the TTP department, in the for basically they're the department that agrees to clear all the beer labels.
Hmm. Yeah, they're also shut down, right?
Yes. So right now, like, if you you know, so basically they just want to make you they want to make sure that your labels aren't and breaking any rules, like, you know, not marketing to kids or anything like that. And so if you there's one brewery that seems to be releasing beers, but they seem to basically be the same beer name. Like, they're just like, and I was like trying to figure out why they were doing that, and I heard about this department being shut down, and it makes sense, you know, because a lot of breweries do these, like, hype cans where it's like they release a new beer every week. They'll do, like, a small batch of, like, a certain IPA where it's, like, one day it's, like, Citra Mosaic and another hop. And then the next one is Mosaic, that hop, and Citra. Like, they changed – basically, they just changed the amounts of the hops, but
yeah.
Still an IPA.
No, it makes sense.
So it'll be interesting to see how those breweries survive, because that's basically how they make all their profit, by selling a, you know, $5 four-pack.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's crazy to think, like, breweries are now held up from creating new beer, and that some of them have already been in the process where they can't even do anything with the beer. Now it's just sitting there. Like, it's just aging beer that might have to, depending on how long this goes, that they might have to dump out the beer or dispose of it one way or another.
Or at least hope that everyone shows up to the brewery and they can sell it all, but just sell it on taps and maybe into, like, to-go containers.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't realize that they could still serve it at their brewery.
Well, it's just a matter of, like, they just can't can it.
Gotcha.
And that's so maybe they can, like, you know, growler it or crowler it, but not necessarily put it in a, you know, $25 four-pack to go.
Fair enough.
But one brewery doing good, Sierra Nevada. They were up in the Chico area where the, you know, largest fire in, you know, in America history ravaged the land. And so they decided to put out a beer called Resilience. And basically all the profits from this beer will go to help fund a charity for the victims of this fire.
Oh, nice. That's a pretty good cause.
Right. And one of the cool things they did was they made the ingredients and the recipe available to any brewery that wanted it. So you could hit them up and be like, hey, we want to brew some of that beer, and they'll ship you, they sent everyone that asked for it the ingredients.
Oh,
as long as you followed the rules of whatever you sold it for, you gave the money, all that money back to them to put to the charity.
Mm. Okay, gotcha. That's pretty cool, though.
Right, and I mean, it was a pretty solid, mild IPA. It wasn't very hoppy. It didn't taste like a Christmas tree. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But then some breweries actually kind of modified the recipe a little bit. And they made it like, a hazy IPA or, you know.
Yeah. That's fair. So, as long as, the money's going back, it doesn't matter.
Right. And that's the point was, and right now, Sierra Nevada has canned the beer and it's available pretty much on wide distribution.
Okay. I'll have to see if I can get some out here then.
Yeah, basically, if you live somewhere where Sierra Nevada is available, you should be able to get it. It's called Resilience.
Okay. Yeah, no, we get Sierra Nevada out here, so I'm sure I'll see it. I just gotta keep my nose out for it.
You gotta go to one of your specialty liquor selling stores where all the bad people hang out.
Maybe we'll see. I don't think it'll be that serious.
Well, yeah, not as serious as the charges against one brewery, man. This one brewery, Trillium.
Yeah.
They had, like, a bunch of employees come out and kind of speak poorly of them. Amongst different things was how they were kind of, they felt they weren't being paid enough. But then another one was they weren't barrel aging their beers enough. And so they had one beer where they said they aged it in tequila barrels.
Yeah.
And one of the employees came out. I was like, "No, man, they just poured some tequila in the brew, in the batch, as they're like finishing it up, to give it the taste that it was aged in tequila barrels."
Wow, what a bunch of monsters!
Right, and some people jumped on that. Like, wait a minute, didn't you just announce that you're going to make this barrel aged beer like 4 weeks ago? Why is it already on tap?
Yeah. busted. Jeez.
Yeah, so
we can have nice things.
No, we can't have nice things. and then Budweiser got called out by this beer blogger. I mean, not this beer blogger, but a food blogger. Basically, this blogger, one of the claims to fame is they're the ones that got Subway to change their sandwich, their bread recipe. Yeah, because apparently at that time when the Subway bread was actually good was because one of the ingredients in it was also an ingredient used to make yoga mats.
Oh, that's weird.
But I don't know, man. Whenever people talk about like things are like don't eat that or don't, you know, that's one molecule away from being like they talk about margarine. Margarine is one molecule away from being plastic. I'm like. But that's not how science works, man, because, you know, water is like one molecule away from being poisonous, too, so.
That is true. Whether you like it or not, that's history right there.
Yes. And so they kind of, you know, they've done a couple other things, the blogger has, and they turn their sights on Budweiser. Basically, like, you know, with all the beer they're making, there has to be some kind of, like, preservatives or unnatural ingredients in there. Because, you know, alcohol isn't required to have its ingredients on the packaging.
That is, I did not realize that. Yeah, that is true. I've never seen that. But I've always known about this before blow your secret.
Of what's in Budweiser?
Yes, rice.
Right. Well, I mean, and like, so they basically it's water, barley malt, rice yeast, and hops.
Yeah, I think you could actually buy from the brewing store that rice to get your lagers. Like, I mean, it does the same thing. I think the rice is cheaper. That's probably why they use it. So it makes it easier, cheaper to make.
And plus it helps give it that, like, body. Because I bought a 4-pack from Bottle Logic. They made a Japanese rice lager.
Yeah.
And it has a very similar consistency and color to Budweiser, but a different flavor.
No, I agree. The rice does give it a lighter, it gives it a that body. So, no, totally agree.
And then another brewery, Haynes Brewing, they came out and they made a fairly controversial stance, I guess. They said at their brewery, they will not be selling any flights.
I was going to say, that was an interesting article that when I was reading it, doing my homework. I don't know. It's an interesting concept.
Do you agree with it?
At the end of the day, I just don't care what people do with their lives. So I don't necessarily say that I don't think I would run a business model where, you know, if people want to do flights, that's on them as the drinker. Because we don't really do flights anymore, right, Danny? Like, for the most part, we'll order, like, a mini of more things so that way we can have more beer. Because I know for sure I always get, like, I feel terrible the next day after we've gone to three breweries and I've gone through like three rounds of flights. I'm like done the next day. Like, I don't want to even think about drinking beer.
Right. There's some breweries where I'll do flights. And you know, their whole point of why they're not doing flights is because you're not getting the full experience as a beer drinker, that you're mixing flavors or you're like beer. If you drink a full pint, the temperature of the beer will change the flavor of it. Basically, they're just trying to, like, get rid of this whole, like, untapped social media culture is ruining beer kind of thing. But no, like, there's breweries where I've gone and gotten flights, and I can kind of at least, like, get an idea of what the beer tastes like so that the next time I go back, I can order a full pint and then get that full experience.
Yeah, I guess I don't really go after flights anymore because I know what I like to typically drink. And, like, if you just tell me I have a stout or I have a porter, like, I'm like, okay, it's probably just going to be around your traditional flavor type versus where, like, you know, they might say, here's a maple or something. Then I'll be like, okay, this sounds more interesting. I'll have that. Where, like, I guess I won't do flights if it's just a lot of base beer because I know what the base beer is going to roughly taste like. I want to drink what they, like, really try to advertise or try to push.
Right, but when I go to BottleLogic especially, I'll get flights just because I know some of their beers, I don't think I can handle a full pour, and then they usually have three or four beers that if you go back the next day, they probably won't be there because they're just limited batches.
Yeah.
And even when I was at SR76, I had one full pour, and then I had two, like, small pours to try. Because, again, I don't know when I'll be getting back there, but I just at least wanted to try the beer.
Gotcha.
So that I could do it on Untappd and take a picture and post it to Instagram.
You would, buddy. You would.
Hey, man. Got to do that promotion. We got to make that money. Got to make that podcast money.
Yeah, this volunteer work.
Yes. Oh, man. So speaking of volunteer work, you know, they have all these different emotes that are basically just dances that you can pay for. And, you know, one of them that was kind of annoying me, and I don't know why it annoyed me, I guess, unnecessarily annoying to me for an unexplainable reason, was the whole that one dance. I lost the name of one where the kids, like, oh, the floss, when the kids do that stupid floss dance.
Yeah,
it went from being like the back dance, it went from being the backpack kid dance to the floss to being the Fortnite dance. So people would be doing, it's like, oh, that kid's doing the Fortnite dance, and I'm like, but what happened to the backpack kid? And no, come to find out, apparently not. But so this rapper started the avalanche by suing Fortnite because they took one of his signature dances and put it in the game. And then when that lawsuit was filed, the actor that played Carlton, Alfonso Rivero, also sued Fortnite because they have the Carlton in there.
Yep.
And then Backpack Kid, his parents jumped in on the bandwagon of suing as well.
three lawsuits. That can't be good for revenue.
Well, honestly, you know, right now, last year, they made $3 billion in profits from selling their emotes and skins.
Isn't that crazy? You could play the game for free. The game is for free. All the money is just from people buying cosmetic stuff.
It's
mind-boggling. $3 billion, mind-boggling.
Yes. $3 billion with a B, profit. That's profit. That's not even, like, costs. Before costs taken out. That's profit. And so, you know, when you have people our age on YouTube or whatever shaking their fist at the sky talking about how loot boxes and all these extra, you know, in-game purchases are ruining the game industry and they need to go away because nobody I know is buying anything. I think they're here to stay, man.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's the thing is, I think Fortnite has its niche players, and so that I think it works, but I think you have in other games it doesn't work. And I think that's where people, game companies are kind of pissed because they see that, like, they can make a lot of money from it, but based off the followers of their game, it doesn't work.
Right, and the I guess two things that Fortnite has going for it that why people aren't necessarily, you know, getting up the pitchforks and torches is that it's not pay to win, so you can't just go out and spend, you know, $5,000 and be the best player. You might be the prettiest player, but you won't be the best player.
True.
And you didn't pay like $60 for the game.
Exactly. And that's what I hate about like the loot crate argument is like, you know, when it's all cosmetic, like even in Overwatch, all the loot crate stuff, it's all cosmetic. It has nothing to do with the game. Like even Destiny has gone to that route where it's all cosmetic. Like, and people are like angry. It's just like, I mean, you're going to get mad at the game. Like, I see both sides of it. Like, I get it. Like the game companies want to make more money and need money to sustain. And then, you know, then we have, like, this free game. And, I mean, that's with all free games, though. Like, League of Legends is a free game to play. It's free to play. But if you spend money, you can unlock characters faster and you can unlock skins and stuff like that. And that game is super popular and makes a lot of money. Well, maybe not as much anymore, but
it made its money.
It sure as hell made all its money, though.
Right, and you know, it's you have these kids that are playing it, and you know, I listen to a couple different podcasts. If you follow on Instagram, you see I made a post. I'm actually subscribed right now to 37 podcasts.
Nobody cares about your fucking hipster podcast shit. Right?
But anyways, point being is that they had the conversation about this, and one of them was saying that like their nephew got a check from like the kids, you know, from the kid's grandma.
Yeah.
And immediately when he got he was like, "Can I use this to buy stuff on Fortnite?" So,
there you go.
That's the ones that are doing it. Like people that are complaining about all these stupid games and the external purchases. It's because you're letting your kids do it, man.
It's not you, it's your kids.
Yes.
Watch your kids, damn it.
I was gonna say now. But like the one thing too, like with like Overwatch and even League of Legends, you don't need to buy anything if you're patient.
Exactly. I mean, even in Destiny, man. Like there's so you could like. Every time, like, you level up after you reach the max level, you get a loot, you get, like, one of those boxes. So you can open it up and you get stuff. And if you don't like it, you destroy it and it turns into currency for you. And then every week it rotates stuff that you could buy. And then, boom, the thing that you were waiting for, you could buy it.
Right. So it's not something that you have to spend money on, you just have to be patient.
Exactly. I mean, do you really need, like, the newest, like, dance? Probably not.
No.
I think Overwatch does it a little bit. And I've seen Destiny kind of does it too, though. Like, there's limited, like, stuff that comes out during certain periods. Like, right now in Overwatch, they're doing a Chinese New Year gig. And there's things that you can only get during there. So I'm sure, you know, when it's the last week, people are going to buy more loot crates to try to get what they want, even though they can get them for free.
Right, and I guess the only argument that I could see people having with there is if they can prove whether or not, like in Overwatch, like if you, you know, buy a loot box with your in-game currency versus a real-life currency, are your drop rates the same?
That's a good question. I don't know.
See, and I don't know if anybody does, because that's something you probably can't really prove unless you buy, like, you know, millions of crates one way and millions of crates another way, you know. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Overwatch, for the Overwatch League, they have a thing called the Contenders, basically where it's like the next step up where for people to actually get into the Overwatch League.
Yeah.
And they signed a player that went by the name Ellie. And there was a lot of, like, controversy, I guess, already from the beginning, because normally when they sign a player, they have, like, almost like a little press conference, and the player is there, and they shake their hand, and they say, "Welcome to Overwatch Contenders League." Yeah. And they introduce them to the people. And when they signed Ellie, they didn't do that. And so, of course, you know, all these guys, you know, according to, you know, depending on who you listen to, you know, the toxic masculinity Gamergate people were threatening to, like, dox her, calling, like, came up with all these conspiracy theories that it was different pro Overwatch players pretending to be this young girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as soon as they start, you know, they start in with their, like, fake girl gamer and different things like that, the other side just jumps in and says, "No, that's just because you're a man and you hate women playing video games." And so there's all this stuff. And then come to find out that Ellie wasn't actually really a player. That they claim to be. Ellie was actually one of the people that they thought it was. And they had the 17-year-old girl that would get on the mic before and after matches and talk, you know, on the Twitch stream.
Yeah.
And so people are like, "See, we told you that girl gamers aren't that good."
I mean, it's just, it's so crazy. I remember when I was reading through the article last night, I was like, why am I even, like, reading this? Like, I just don't care. Like, why are people so stupid? Why is this a thing? Like, why do we have to deal with this?
Well, I guess part of it is because Overwatch League is in its infancy of trying to, like, revolutionize esports. Mm-hmm. With the amount of money that they have in the tournaments, the way they're, like, actually making people pay to buy franchises.
Yeah.
It's like right now it's cost like $20 million to buy a franchise in Overwatch League. Yes.
Danny, we need to get $20 million so we could have the We Are Adult Show team going. But then again, if I had $20 million, I'd probably retire and open up my brewery. So maybe
right.
It wouldn't work. Maybe
no.
It wouldn't work.
I was going to say, if you had $20 million, I don't know if, you know, playing professional Overwatch or paying to have people play professional Overwatch would be high on that list of things to do.
So I just inherited $20 million. This is the last episode of We Are Adult Show. Come by Bar One Brewing.
Or, you know, come by Bar One Brewing on this night as we record We Are Adult Show live.
False. That's too much work. I'm gonna cry with my $100 bills, wipe my tears away.
You're just going to make just shred up money and just throw it in one of your brews instead of in the dry, you know, dry hop some money.
Yeah, this is the the dry hop brew thing.
The $1 million dry hop beer.
Exactly.
But the other thing too is, like, now those guys that were, like, threatening to dox her and different things, like, they feel justified in their "we told you so." So that, like, if any other, like, actual legit female contender comes up, they're immediately going to feel justified in attacking her and making her prove that she can play the game.
Jeez.
Yes, people are dicks. And yet Gillette was the asshole.
All they said was, hey, let's be better people, and, like, now there's all this shit, like, here's my guns, Gillette, like, tell me how I'm gonna raise my kids. It's like, I don't think you understand the message, but, you know, we can just keep moving.
Yes. Yes, like, I saw this one thread, a conversation thread, and it was basically, like, how, the guy was a nice guy, but, like, all the girls only are bitches and only date Chads and this and that, and somebody, girl said something to him, and he was like, shut up, bitch, and he's like, she's like, yeah, apparently you didn't catch the whole point of what this conversation was about.
Basically.
So, there have been a lot of Star Wars fan films made. Some of them good, some of them not so good. But there's this one that's kind of gotten a lot of publicity recently because even though they followed all the rules, mm-hmm. they got a, you know, ever-popular YouTube copyright claim against them.
Yeah, they did.
And somebody started to throw commercials on there to monetize this guy's video. The Star Wars Theory is the name of the company that made the video, or the guys, well, the guy, I guess his group that he did, about Darth Vader. Did you actually watch the video, Sean?
I did. I did watch the whole film.
Well, the first, I guess, like, it's one part. It's part one, so I don't know how many parts it's going to be.
Probably zero more.
Well, he actually, in the end, Lucas ended up reaching out to the company that filed the copyright claim against him and told him to back off and said that he followed all the rules and that he didn't violate any copyrights. Mm-hmm. And so they lifted the claim.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I was looking through and I was like, man, there's actually quite a few Star Wars fan films and none of them had any copyright claim strikes against them. So I don't know if it was just this one was new, if I know a lot of the funding from this came through like Kickstarter.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. I mean, it's well done. Like, it does not. I mean, it doesn't look like it's, you know, George Lucas like stuff. But I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't look like some cheesy bullshit amateur either. Like, it's
no
solid.
Yeah, he definitely put some time and money into this, and some love. Basically, it's like, you know, the story between Darth Vader and the Emperor. The makeup, even the makeup for the Emperor looked pretty good.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, you can kind of tell that it wasn't the original, but I mean, it looks pretty solid. Like, basically there.
Right. I would highly recommend, even if you're not necessarily a huge Star Wars fan, but you just enjoy, it's about, what, 15, 16 minutes long for part one?
Yeah, it's not very, very long.
So I think maybe that's probably why, like, he's going to just release it in segments just to get it out, and then maybe at some point release the whole thing in one watching. Unless this has to do with, like, YouTube, probably, and their, like, I guess, video limits. Maybe you can't put, I don't know. There's different weird things about YouTube. I don't think anybody understands, even YouTube.
YouTube doesn't even understand their policies.
Yes, they just know that the robots are in control. And if you have a problem, you can talk to the robot.
Hey, look, here's a character that I individually made and drew and produced and everything, and somebody's going to do a copyright thing on it, and now I'm screwed, even though it's all mine.
Yes, it's like that Reddit joke about, here's a thing I made, and then the person's looking at it and it's like, no, I made this.
Basically.
Oh, man. So we got another trailer, Sean. This one, the third and possibly, hopefully, final story in the John Wick franchise.
I don't even remember if I saw the first two. I mean, it definitely looks pretty intense.
You definitely at least have to watch the first one, man. The first one's amazing. The second one is a little more action-y, but it's still pretty good. Mm-hmm. The thing that I really like about the John Wick movies is they set up this little world of hitmen and their rules and the currency and how they get paid to kill someone and then how much and how they can use that currency to buy different things. Uh-huh. 'Cause they basically get these like a coin.
Yeah.
And then but then it's like weird because like in the first one, the rate of exchange isn't necessarily clearly explained because like he goes and buys like a suit with a coin, and then he goes and buys a bourbon on the rocks with a coin.
That's funny. Jeez.
But yeah, John Wick plays in basically this hitman that in the first movie was not necessarily forced, but strongly convinced to come out of retirement because some assholes killed his dog.
Jeez.
And so they kind of explain his backstory and that he's like very focused on his target. And then the second one, they kind of expand the universe. And the third one, basically at the end of the second one, he violated a rule, a major rule. And now all of the hitmen are after him in the third one.
Oh, jeez. And we don't know what that rule is.
Well, I know the rule, but basically he like killed someone in a place he wasn't allowed to kill someone.
Oh, like in the second movie?
Yes.
Gotcha.
So then you obviously seen it then.
No, I was just...
Oh.
I just guessed.
Oh, that's what I said in the second movie. Yeah, in the second movie. I thought you'd seen it because there's...
He broke a rule and I was like, okay, did he break it in the second one? Or is it something like we're going to find out in the third
one? Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, he broke it in the at the end of the second movie. He broke the rule.
I just puzzled you.
Yes. Or you weren't really paying attention because I did say at the end of the second movie he broke a rule.
Oh, I guess I wasn't paying attention.
No, it's okay. It happens. No one pays attention to me, as evidenced by our downloads. Hi, Sean's mom and dad. And, you know, when you were in Santa Barbara and I was talking to your mom, she was like, she told me, she was like, there's some parts of your podcast I'm not sure if I should be listening to.
Probably not, but I mean, it's just because nobody wants to listen to you, Danny.
No, nobody does. That's why my wife made herself deaf when she was born, because she knew she'd marry me and didn't want to listen to me all the time.
She is the ultimate weapon. She just turned it off.
Yes. Off. She's like, I'm going to marry some asshole that I'm going to want to stop listening to in the future, so I'm just going to give up my sense of hearing for the whole life. It'll be worth it. She played the long con.
Yeah, she did. She got you good.
Yes. I'll show that son of a bitch.
That's funny.
So we both ironically ended up watching the same movie this week, Sean.
I did. I needed some entertainment because it takes a long time to go from Detroit to Las Vegas in a plane. So I downloaded the movie Venom. I definitely feel like I'm a day late and a buck short on any movie now because I'm so far behind. But, I mean, I'm glad that I downloaded it and watched it. It was actually pretty good. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad I took the DVD and put it in my DVD player. And then put it back in the envelope and sent it back to Netflix. And I thought it was a good movie. What's that?
I'm just going to hang up my headset. And I'm done.
You're done?
I'm giving up.
I'm sticking to the old ways, man.
It's the year 2039 and Danny's still got DVDs from Netflix coming in.
I haven't even upgraded to the Blu-ray part of it. Maybe by then I might have upgraded to Blu-ray when they have like the virtual reality Princess Leia like hologram technology of DVDs.
Maybe. No promises though, people. No promises.
No. That was in a galaxy far, far away. But I will say I too enjoyed Venom. But I didn't think it was a very good Venom movie.
Really? I guess, like, I mean, in typical Marvel fashion, it takes a while to get the story going because it's the first movie and all this. I guess which part did you, I guess what did you not like about it?
You ready?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Eddie Brock is supposed to be basically a piece of shit loser, and they made him out to be some sort of like super reporter hero that got fired from New York. Because they talk about briefly the quote-unquote incident in New York, where he got fired and basically ran out of New York because he wouldn't give up his investigative journalism. Yep. Even though in the comics, he got kicked out of New York because he stole stories from Peter Parker. Not because he was a good reporter, but because he was a shitty reporter.
That's fair.
And the enemy, it to me it felt like a similar story beat by beat to that movie that is universally hated as being a comic book movie, Catwoman. Mm-hmm. Where she was just fighting some nameless, faceless perfume company. Mm-hmm. Like cosmetics company. This one was just like, basically it's like evil Elon Musk.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, I guess you make a strong point. Like, he isn't supposed to be a good person, but I guess, like, I think that's where they kind of, like, struggled with. Like, how do they get people to, like, kind of support him? Like, it's not like he's Wolverine or Punisher where he's a good guy. He just takes shit to the extreme. Like, so I think they were trying to figure out how do they bridge that.
Right, and that's what they did. They made him, I told Jody, basically in this movie, before we watched it, I said that they changed it and made him from the villain to being an anti-hero.
Yeah, basically.
You know, he was fighting the bad guys. I mean, it was a good movie. It really was. I enjoyed it. I had fun. I'm glad I watched it. But I'm waiting to watch a good Venom movie.
True. I guess I did, like, I guess that would be the biggest thing is how would they do that, I guess. I don't know. It'd be tough. I see what you're saying, where your complaints are. Yeah.
I mean,
it was kind of like a weird villain, too, which makes sense.
Right. He fought, you know, because he fought, like I said, it was this basically Elon Musk-esque character that was trying to save humanity from itself and send people to space.
And he got tricked.
And he got tricked. Yes. It's like a super silly bitch. But I mean, I guess on the plus side, he was doing something about San Francisco's homelessness.
I guess he was.
Not in the way that, you know, maybe people would want, but still, problems were being solved.
True.
But I mean, if you haven't seen it, I would recommend watching it. If you're a fan of the movie, the comics, you probably will just have to let things go and just realize that it's not a Venom movie that you want. I'm hoping that they do make a sequel, though, because the sting at the end was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. I was like, oh boy. I think the next one might be a little bit more, I think a lot more action-packed, I can imagine.
More true to character, maybe?
Mm-hmm. I think because there's two other symbiotes, right? Because there was a total of four?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, so, alright, that makes sense.
So they can make three movies.
Yeah, they can. I guess, like, who do you make, though, next? Like, Carnage is really the only other symbiote that they really ever talked about, right?
Like, pretty much, yeah.
So.
Hashtag spoilers.
Hashtag. I think it would be interesting to see Spider-Man jump in and help out, but that's probably not going to happen. That wouldn't make sense in that universe.
No. He's too busy, you know, in Europe. Doing Europe things.
Yeah, he is.
No, I still say the Spider-Man Far From Home takes place before Avengers 4, before Thanos snapped everyone away.
I think that makes sense. I think it's logical. I don't know enough about this universe to argue back. I do know.
Because that goes back to how
it's very fair, though.
Right, and it goes back to, like, why they would have Ant-Man at the end of the trailer for Avengers 4.5 versus having Peter Parker if they're going to have a movie coming out and spoil that he's coming back anyways.
True.
I think this is before I think this is before he didn't feel so good.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So, you know, I've been watching the YouTube videos for the wrestling group Being the Elite, the Elite. Oh, nice. And leading pretty much ever since they did their event in Chicago, All In.
Yeah.
There's been a part at the end of the video where like a timer would start ticking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And from the very first one, people are like, did the math, and it was on in the comments. I'm like, wait, that's New Year's Day. Something's going to happen New Year's Day. And there were like all sorts of, wrestle nerd speculation as to what was going to happen, whether they're going to announce a new event. They're announced they're going to be signing with WWE because of the group. Mm-hmm. Four of their contracts were set to expire with the wrestling promotions they were part of.
Gotcha.
Everyone but Marty Scurll and Kenny Omega. And so, and even like as it got closer to the end of the year, they started doing this one bit where Marty Scurll would be calling up the guys, each one, and be like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this unconventional party. It's, you know, everyone does a New Year's Eve party, but I'm going to do a New Year's Day party. And one by one, they would each tell him, it's like, oh man, we can't do it, man. We're busy. We got something going on that day. Mm-hmm. And so come New Year's Day, they held a live press conference. They were able to watch on via stream. Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks formed a new wrestling promotion called All Elite Wrestling.
Gotcha.
They signed a couple wrestlers. They announced they signed the three-man tag team known as SoCal Uncensored, SCU. Mm-hmm. They signed a couple other people, and they were as they were talking, Chris Jericho's theme song came on, and he came out. He signed with them as well. And it was pretty funny. People were arguing a little bit about the Jericho signing, because he said two things and they kind of contradicted each other. One was he signed with them because he didn't care about the money. He just wanted to go with somebody who was passionate about wrestling. Mm-hmm. But then he also said that they paid him more money than he made with WWE. So they're like, wait, which one is it? Do you not care about the money, or do you care about the money?
Yeah.
But, so now they're kind of going around to all these little different independent promotions. They were at Bar Wrestling in Los Angeles last week. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Bar Wrestling, you have up until a certain point to pre-buy tickets.
Yeah.
And then once that's shut off, then you have to, and it's $25 in advance. And then if you don't, then it's $40 at the door. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so basically right after they cut off the sales for pre-sales, Cody Rhodes, Hangman Page, and the Young Bucks each posted on Twitter part of the sentence. So Cody Rhodes posted CU, and then Hangman Page said N, and then Nick, one of the Young Bucks, was lost, and the other one said Angelus that afternoon. So everyone's like, holy shit, they're showing up to Bar Wrestling, and then Bar Wrestling retweeted it.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, holy shit, they're going to be there. And I guess normally not too many people show up day of. And, if you pre-buy your tickets, that's pretty much most of the crowd. You might get a couple people show up, but for the most part, everyone pre-buys.
Yeah.
For this event, they posted stuff on social media basically like saying we're sorry, not sorry to the people that got turned away.
Yeah.
We let as many people as we could in, but we, fire codes are a thing and we didn't want to get shut down. And so the SCU were there doing basically what was an open three-man tag team challenge.
Oh, wow.
And so, they released the footage on Bar Wrestling. Joey Ryan did on YouTube already. And then if you watch the Being the Elite, the footage is all in their latest video. Mm-hmm. So they've wrestled these three guys, Watts and the Rockness Monsters. And one of the guys actually in the tag team, the Rockness Monsters, looks like Dan Stong with a much more fabulous beard. If that's even possible, and it is, apparently.
Nice.
And I didn't realize how fabulous it was until, the last time I saw them, his beard came out of whatever it was tied up on, because it's like, he, ties it up and under. It's weird, but then it's, three times as long as it normally is.
Oh, wow.
So, I guess they got the SCU and, had them kind of down, and one of them was getting ready to attack one of them with a chair, and then Joey Ryan came out and stopped him, and then he attacked the guy instead of attacking one of the guys of SCU. He attacked Joey Ryan and knocked him down, and then Hangman Page came out and saved Joey Ryan, and they kind of had a moment in the ring because they had a big feud, and the storyline was that Hangman Page killed Joey Ryan, and at their All In event, Joey Ryan came out with an army of inflatable dick people.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. And so they kind of like shook hands, and as they were like shaking hands in the ring, the other two guys came in and jumped them, and they were getting beaten up, and then Cody Rhodes came out and saved them. Mm-hmm. So basically, one by one, all of the guys from the Elite came out.
Nice.
And made their appearance and stuff. And so, I mean, they showed, I mean, they said they're going to be there, and they were there. And so then there was a few other wrestling events that they showed up to. And one of the funny things they did on the Elite, one of the guys, his name is Peter Avalon, professional Peter Avalon is his wrestling name.
Yeah.
PPA. Him and Cody Rhodes have gotten in, wrestled in a few matches for a couple for one of the championships that Cody had for a while.
Yeah.
And they showed them talking in the parking lot outside of Bar Wrestling, and Cody Rhodes is like, "Hey, yeah, we, you know, we talked and we decided we're gonna sign you to the All Elite Wrestling." And he's like, "Seriously?" He's like, "Yeah, we're gonna give you $1 million." Mm-hmm. And he got all excited and he ran off. And as he runs off, Nick. The Young Bucks come up and like, "Wait, did you just sign him?" "Yeah." And it's like, "Wait, I thought we were supposed to discuss before we sign anybody." And Cody Rhodes is like, no, man, I'm the executive chairman of this group." And each of them, they're like, no. Nick Jackson was like, "I'm the executive chairman." And then Matt Jackson was like, "No, I'm the executive chairperson." And so then they're like, "Well, how much money did you sign him for?" And he's like, $1 million. And they're like, wait. "Dude, you can't throw money away like that. We're not WCW." Just making fun of when WCW basically bankrupted themselves trying to sign away all the talent from Vince McMahon and WWE.
Yeah.
When they got like Hulk Hogan and Bret the Hitman Hart. And so then they brought him back. He comes running back. They call him over. It's like, "Peter." And he comes over and he's already wearing like a hoodie for the All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
And, Cody Rhodes is like, "Hey, man, you know, we have to talk." He's like, "I'm sorry, but, you know, due to budgetary constraints and stuff, we're going to have to let you go. You're fired." And he gets all upset and they're like, "And, we're going to need that sweater back too." So he got his moment of fame on the being the Elite, which that's pretty much, you know, worth a lot, I guess, in the street cred in the indie wrestling world.
Yeah. That's funny.
So I'm just wondering, cause there's another bar wrestling event coming up at the end of the month. And I wonder if people are going to, like, start buying tickets on the off chance that, like, shit like this will happen, which you never know. Like, it kind of, you know, even when I was there, like, they had surprise guests that didn't, that showed up.
Yeah.
So that's the whole reason why you go to these things. And I think I'm going to have to buy tickets anyway. I might have to buy a ticket and go. I was planning on it. I have that Friday off, so I can go. I can stay up late.
Just do it.
I should, yes. Oh, man.
A lot of craziness, I guess, over there, huh?
Yes, man. The world of wrestling is going to be changed. It'll be interesting, I guess. You know, all these different wrestle YouTube channels are talking about how Vince McMahon is, like, worried about them and how he's not letting any of his wrestlers whose contracts are expiring go, even if he necessarily doesn't want them. Mm-hmm. He's still signing them so that the All Elite Wrestling can't sign them.
Yeah.
Which then, of course, leads to all these, like, speculation videos of, "Well, this wrestler is unhappy with Vince McMahon. He's going to, and his contract's up soon. He's going to leave and he's going to go join the All Elite Wrestling."
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
So
don't feed them stars because they already have names. Don't, you know what I mean? Like, you're just going to help feed it.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, right now, like, I don't know how much their names are known outside of the core group of, you know, the hardcore wrestle nerds that know the Elite or Cody Rhodes or any like that. Cause I know he wrestled in WWE for a while, but, he wanted out of his contract. And then Kenny Omega, his contract is up at the end of the month with New Japan. And he hasn't announced where he's going to go yet. Mm. But you know, even then, like, he's like, you know, considered one of the top, at least one of the top five, easily, arguably top three wrestlers in the world right now. But I don't know how many people know his name that, you know, show up to Raw or just watch Raw on TV, you know?
Yeah. No, I got you.
Even though his nickname is the Best Bout Machine. he used to be known as the cleaner, but now he's the best bout machine. And I guess they have some sort of wrestling awards, and he actually won match of the year.
Gotcha.
Against Okada, his longtime rival. So it's, you know, I don't know. Again, they need that name. I don't know if Chris Jericho is a big enough name, but you need something to like get you over, you know, WWE. And I don't know if, I know the Cody posted a thing on Twitter today, him and Brandy were on their way to Vegas to scout locations for their next event that was confirmed in Vegas, but they haven't found a place yet.
Gotcha. Hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see, man. Change in the world of wrestling.
Exactly.
Unlike us, man. They're changing the world of wrestling for good. We're changing the scene of podcasting for the meh.
For the meh. Lots of meh.
Meh. Here. Meh. Exactly. And with that being said, folks,
that is it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, all those fabulous places.
Untapped, Sir Hoppyhead, Untapped. We even have a Twitter account. We don't really use it, but there you can just follow it and like just know that we're not going to fill your timeline with spam.
True.
Or anything.
If you want that, follow the Instagram if you want all the spam.
Yes. If you want the juicy nothingness, Twitter. If you want to see what beers that I'm getting drunk on, follow us on Untapped. Again, Sir Hoppyhead on Untapped.
Sounds like a good time. All right, everybody. We will see you next time, next week. All right, Danny. It was a good one.
It was. Later, everybody.